You're with Morning Ireland. It's 13 minutes past seven. Israel says its warplanes have hit more than 100 Hezbollah rocket launchers and other terrorist sites, including a weapons storage facility in southern Lebanon. The IDF claimed the launchers were ready to be fired against Israel. Yesterday, too, the Hezbollah leader Hassan Nasrallah said the blasts earlier this week from pagers and walkie-talkies crossed all red lines, accusing Israel of what he said represented a declaration of war. Israel has still not said it was behind the explosions on Tuesday and Wednesday, which killed 37 and wounded 3,000, according to Lebanese authorities. From Beirut, we are joined by Nafisa Kunavard, the BBC World Service Middle East correspondent. And Nafisa, what is the latest now from where you are from Lebanon following this escalation by Israel? Are there accounts of loss of life or injuries in these latest attacks?
There is no indication that there has been injuries in the latest attack on the southern Lebanon, and also attacks happened last night massively on northeast of the country, which is partly controlled by Hezbollah. But so far there has been no statement by Hezbollah. Hezbollah regularly issues statements when their fighters are being killed, but so far we haven't heard anything, and it seems that the target of the massive bombardment last night was mainly rocket launchers and infrastructures that probably some of them were empty but loaded, as Israeli army says. Footage that we saw, it shows that there are secondary explosions in some of the airstrikes, indicating that there have been weapon that they were targeting.
Is it clear that is it clear now that this is no longer speculation, that there is an escalation in this war, that Israel now and its defence minister is saying there is a new phase, the battle plans have been approved for the Israeli-Lebanon border? And then what does that mean?
This is definitely a new phase. It's been 11 months that we have been in kind of a questioning that when the massive escalation will start, when the all-out war will come. And this time, everyone here feels much closer than every other time that we've experienced in escalations between Hezbollah and Israel, that this time is different. We feel it, that it is different. And there are reports that Israeli army is moving its tanks towards the northern, it's a northern area with border with southern Lebanon. And it was clear from Mr. Nasrallah's speech that the group itself is getting ready for much bigger escalation. For the first time yesterday, he mentioned that even on the day, the first day that the waves of these devices blast started, the group was expecting that Israeli army will enter on to southern Lebanon with its tanks. So it shows that even the group sees this as a massive escalation, different than any other time.
And how weakened is Hezbollah? If earlier this week you had the pager explosions and the walkie-talkies, so you have 37 killed, but some 3,000 injured. So many of their people will be disabled and out of action. So, he acknowledged to some extent the major blow that had been dealt to them this week.
Yes, he said that this was a massive and very heavy attack against Hezbollah. It was a massive escalation towards Hezbollah, and also massive loss for the group. And he mentioned it with very clear sentences, that it was a blow to Hezbollah that they never had faced before, something unprecedented. But a part of these people that have been injured in these attacks, they were not necessarily fighters for Hezbollah. They were working in several organizations controlled by Hezbollah. They were civil workers as well. It's not only that their fighters have been attacked. So far, based on what we see on the southern border, that they still continue firing missiles towards northern Israel. This itself is a sign that the group still keeps going. They don't deny that they have hit hardly, but I highly doubt that we can, for now, we can say that the group has been weakened, because the group has a lot of other fighters trained and different layers of fighters. This is how they got themselves ready for years and years, training a massive layers of fighters. But as I said again, even the leader of Hezbollah is not denying that the attack was massive and unprecedented against.
And briefly, if you can, what does this mean for the war in Gaza?
As long as the war in Gaza continues, this situation here also will continue. It's not necessarily will affect directly what is happening in Gaza. And we have seen it before, that nothing, no escalation on Lebanon, Israel border, or between Hezbollah and Israeli army is necessarily affecting what Israel is doing in Gaza. But ceasefire, any ceasefire in Gaza probably will affect the situation here, because Hezbollah kept repeating that a ceasefire in Gaza will lead to ceasefire here. However, in this situation, now the understanding here is that it's too late for that too. Everyone sees it as a start of a massive escalation, a new phase that may end up with an all-out war.
The BBC's World Service, Nafisa Kunavard there, and thank you very much. It's 20 minutes past seven.
Morning Ireland at 12 minutes past eight, and as you heard in the bulletin, Israel carried out dozens of airstrikes on Hezbollah targets in Lebanon yesterday, mainly aimed at rocket launchers and ammunition. And this followed the pager and walkie-talkie explosions that killed at least 37 people and injured thousands. Hezbollah leader Hassan Nasrallah has blamed Israel for those device explosions. He says it's an act of war, and he's vowed a severe reckoning. Gideon Levy, Israeli journalist and columnist with the Haaretz newspaper, joins us now. Gideon Levy, your assessment this morning as we approach the anniversary of October the 7th, is it as grim as it's ever been?
It's much worse than this, because after a quite catastrophic war in Gaza, which didn't bring any good to anyone, including not to Israel, Israel is aiming toward another war, which will be much worse than the first one. And it's really hard to understand it. Those operations that you just mentioned are very impressive, but where does it lead to, and what is the end game? Nobody can answer this question.
You opposed the 2006 Lebanon war. Do you think it's inevitable now that this tit-for-tat, this escalation of strikes, device explosions, that there will be a full-blown war, that Israeli tanks will cross the border into Lebanon?
The rhetoric seems to be very decisive, and the atmosphere, the public atmosphere, is very decisive. And I don't see what will stop now a war in Lebanon, even though everyone, but everyone, keep on telling us that this will be a catastrophe in terms of bloodshed, destruction, missiles on Israel. I mean, Hezbollah is not Hamas, but something in the mindset of Israel is now really oriented to solve all the problems only by force, only by war, and ignore any other possible way.
Hezbollah have admitted, I mean, Hassan Nasrallah admitted they'd taken a heavy blow in those device explosions. They vowed a heavy reckoning. Have they the capacity to take on the IDF after everything that's happened this week?
Yeah, but still Hezbollah is not crashed and will not be crashed even after a war. Like we saw, Israel wanted to crash Hamas and we are now 1 year later. And Hamas had many losses and lost some of its capabilities. And Hamas is still alive and kicking and will be so even after more years. So the whole idea of really crashing regimes by force doesn't work. The problem is that Israel, time after time, does not learn from the history. We've been at least twice in Lebanon in order to secure Israel, and twice it led to catastrophes without any outcome, without any achievement.
Does Benjamin Netanyahu, who heads a coalition government in Israel, does he need war to stay in power at this stage?
He needs war to stay in power, but I give him the credit that it's not his only consideration. I mean, it is in the set of his consideration. But unlikely most of the leftists in Israel, what is left from the left, I don't think it's only about staying in power. I think he also is trying to implement his ideology. Namely, this man never believed in any kind of political settlement with the Palestinians, and he doesn't believe it now. And he really believes that wars are the solution and military power, military force are the only solutions for any problem. And he's implementing it.
Does the IDF have the capacity to fight in Gaza, increasingly deal with the West Bank, where there are more and more conflicts every day, and also carry out a war in Lebanon?
It's a very good question, and it's a big question mark. Because, first of all, the IDF was beaten on the 7th of October. Let's remember that it's a beaten army. Then it recovered in Gaza, but the feeling was that Gaza was quite exhausting for our army. Now to start a new land operation with this tired army, who has had also many losses in Gaza. It's not only about the killed one. All the injured ones are not soldiers anymore. To go with this army now vis-a-vis Hezbollah, which is 10 times stronger and better equipped than Hamas, with the danger of a regional war, with the danger of Iran involving it, I think it's really not from the moral point of view, from the rational point of view, it is just irresponsible.
Is what has happened over the past year, has it made... Well, you believe a two-state solution isn't possible anymore at this stage. It's effectively been wiped off the map. Has it undermined Israel's existence in the region?
So first of all, for the two-state solution, it was impossible many years ago, in my view. It was a masquerade in which everyone say two-state solution, knowing that when there are 700,000 Jewish settlers in the West Bank, there is no room for a Palestinian state. But this was the ritual in order to postpone any other solution. So everyone was saying two-state solution, two-state solution, knowing that it's by far a train that left the station many years ago. Now, Israel will not collapse out of those wars, but Israel today is much weaker than 1 year ago. No doubts about this. And when people are thinking about the war in Gaza or the war in Lebanon, they have to realize that Israel is weaker today than 1 year ago in any possible parameter. Economically, diplomatically, it's turning into a pariah state in the world. And even from the point of view of security, Israel is a much less secure place today than it was 1 year ago. So another war in Lebanon will strengthen all those tendencies. I'm not one of those who think that Israel will vanish. Israel cannot vanish, and Israel will stay here. But it will be a more dangerous and a less pleasant place to live in, with a fascist government, with fundamentalistic movements and organizations who are running our lives, and with very little opposition.
And Lebanon, which has already been through so much, so many wars, in many ways a failing state, the impact of another war there?
No, it's a catastrophe, and the Lebanese understand it. The only problem is that no one can stop Hezbollah. I'm sure that any Lebanese would like to go through another war because they knew what does it mean for their lives. And to this war, they are arriving in their worst position ever, because the Lebanon stopped being a state much before the war will start. And to go to such a war now, to massive attacks by the Israeli Air Force, and maybe even by artillery and boots on the ground, this will be a catastrophe for Lebanon, but nobody can stop Hezbollah. I don't see that anyone has influence on Hezbollah to come and to tell them what for, what for.
Indeed, and the Wall Street Journal reporting White House sources that are sceptical, no matter what's being said in public, about any ceasefire deal being agreed before January. Is there anyone? The UN Security Council is meeting today. But again, there have been so many words and so little action. Is there anyone who can mediate or influence and avoid what appears to be a catastrophe in the making for the region?
No, nobody can mediate as long as Israel and Benjamin Netanyahu and his government are opposing any kind of ceasefire, any kind of stopping the war. They want the war in Gaza to continue. They are not ready for a ceasefire in logical terms, namely pulling out the troops and releasing thousands of Palestinian prisoners. This is on the table, and this they are not ready to do. And as long as this is the situation, no mediation can solve it. The only thing which could have solved it is obviously a massive pressure by the international community, and above all by the United States. But unfortunately, this is not happening. It's only lip service and all kind of nice slogans about ending the war. And in the same time, the same president who calls Israel to end the war is supplying Israel with arms and with ammunition in a totally unconditioned way. And what is the message? Stop the war that we are arming you for? That's ridiculous.
Gideon Levy, journalist and commentator with the Haaretz newspaper. Thank you for talking to us this morning. It's 22 minutes past 8:00.